passages will be fulfilled. We thank you for the encouragement that it gives us, that there is a hope ahead, not only for Israel, but for us. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to study your word. We pray as we teach this morning and as the Sunday school goes forth, that your name might be honored and glorified. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very briefly, verse 1 deals with the tribulation. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, that is for Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble. That time of trouble is a tribulation, which such as, excuse me, such as, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that shall be found written in the book, that is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Those are those who belong to God, the elect. They will be saved. And the Bible tells that lest those days were shortened, that everyone would, the elect would even be taken away. So God's going to deal with that in the 7 years. In verses 2 and 3, we have the resurrection of the just and the unjust. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, we made note of that, that there's a period of time between those two. The resurrection of the just has two parts. The resurrection or the rapture and the resurrection of the church. And then the second part of that happens 1,000 years later. 7 years later, which will be the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. Those are the just. And then after that, after 1,000 years, then will be the resurrection of those who are unjust, those who are not saved, and they will go to everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There will be a brightness of those folks. Verse 4, Daniel is instructed here to shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end of time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 5, and I, Daniel, looked, and he saw two men, one on one side of the river and the other, and the one asked the question, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? In verse 7, the answer comes back, a time, times, and a half time. Time, and times, that's three, and then a half is 3.5 years. So we're looking at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is very consistent with the rest of the scripture, in New Testament and Old Testament, that there are 3.5, well, actually 7 years. This is Daniel's 70th week. The first 3.5 years are relatively peaceful. The second 3.5 years is when the great tribulation begins. Verse 8. He's asked. Daniel says, "I don't understand what you're saying." Very understandable from Daniel's point. Then the Lord said, "What shall the end of these?" And then said I, "O Lord, what shall the end of these things?" And verse 9, he tells Daniel to go away. He's instructed now to go away. For the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. So what's going to happen? Daniel has revealed the time of the end is the tribulation period, and this is going to be, they're sealed until then. There's no new revelation that's going to be given to Israel. We have the mystery period, the church. Now, verse 9, 10, we'll finish this up now as quickly as I possibly can, and maybe we'll leave time for some questions. Verse 10, many will be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. This verse indicates to Daniel that the time of the end has a twofold result. The first result is that many will be purified and made white and tried. The word tried is an interesting word. It's the word, it's saw wrath. And it is used of refining metal. The refinery, they would melt the metals down and they would take the dross off and what would be left would be pure. And that's the idea that's here. It means to refine or to make pure, or to purge away, or to try. The tribulation period, these 7 years, and particularly those last 3.5 years, are meant to accomplish this. They're a purifying effect upon the nation Israel. God's going to try them. He's going to purge away the dross. If you turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 quickly, we've looked at these before, but many will be made pure. And John beheld, he says in Revelation 7, 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You notice the white robes. These are going to be purified. They're going to be made white. They're going to be tried. The question that John wanted to know is, who are these? Who are these people? Who are these? And the answer comes in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 7. And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there's a purifying effect, and that's the first result of the tribulation. Its purpose is to purify the nation Israel. The second purpose, or the second result, is manifest in the last part of this verse. It will manifest the true character of the wickedness of the human heart. Notice what he says in that verse, verse 10. And none of the wicked shall, but the wicked will do wickedly. It'll just pour forward. I mean, it's gonna come out of them. The seal and the trumpet and the bold judgments come upon the earth, causing havoc and death. And yet man's heart will not repent. In Revelation chapter 9, I don't know if you're still back there, but let me read two verses to you to save time. You don't have to turn back there. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21 says, And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The wickedness will just pour forward. The wrath that's going to come out of these people, the filthiness that comes out of them, will come forward, and the result is that the wicked will be seen in their true character, and what's down inside of their hearts. Well, it's during this time that understanding is given to the wise, and they will understand Daniel's prophecies of the time of the end. But none of the wicked will understand. He says that the wicked shall not understand, but the wise shall understand. You remember, it requires eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that can understand the truth. And only those who have been born again and are pure and white and been tried will really understand the truth, because they have the Holy Spirit living in them. And because of the Holy Spirit will reveal to them the truth that they need to know at that period of time. The wicked do not have the Holy Spirit, so they cannot understand the truth. They don't have no capacity to understand the truth. They don't have the eyes or the ears or the mind to comprehend what is taking place. Divine revelation is hidden from them. You remember up in verse 4, of Daniel chapter 12, it says that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There's a search for wisdom. There's a search for understanding. Many will find it. Those who are purified, many will not find it. Those are the wicked, and they will turn away from the truth. Now, verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now we looked at this before. We know that there's an additional. It's 12,000 or 1,260 days of the 3.5 years. Time is 30 days. Times is 1 month, which is 30 days. Times are 2 months, which is 60 days, and a half time. months. I get this right. Times is 1 month. Times is 2 months. A half time is a half a month. So that if you multiply that 3.5 times 60, or times 30, you get 1,260 days. Am I right on that? I think that's right. Now he's talking about 1,290 days that are going to be added. This is an additional 30 days. We discussed that before. There's when this is all done, there's going to be a lot of carnage on this earth. The world has not seen what's going to happen. We look at what's happening in Egypt and some of these places and Syria and the carnage that's going on there. The buildings are torn apart. The bodies are lying on the street. That's nothing of what it's going to be like in the tribulation period. And there's going to have to be a period of time of cleaning up the mess and straightening things out for the Lord Jesus Christ to go and sit upon the throne. And so there are days that are going to be added. I've noted to you that from law to grace, that is from the Old Testament to the and the end of the law, the finish of the law, we're not under law, but we're under grace. The law ended with a cross, and grace began immediately after that. But Judaism and the church, there was a Judaism ended with the cross, but the church did not begin until 50 days later at Pentecost. And so there was a transitional period in there. You have that in Acts chapter 1 and the beginning of Acts chapter 2. That's not unusual to have a transition. And so we believe that the additional days, here it's mentioned 1,290, and a little bit it'll be 1,335. 1,335. So there's an additional 75 days that are added, and we assume or we figure that that's that transitional period. There's a cleaning up of the mess and getting the temple ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to sit on the throne. Will you turn to Revelation chapter 14? I'll just show you a little bit of this. Revelation chapter 14. And I want you to look at verse 14. I mean, it almost seems like it's unreal. And maybe there is a little, and I don't want to use exaggeration here, but this will be true, literally. And the wine press was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horse's bridle. Now, if you have a horse, the bridle is up here somewhere, and he says the blood's going to flow that high. Not only that, but by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, do you know how long that is? That's about 180 miles. Can you imagine blood flowing like that for 180 miles? Now, from the ancient Israel, from one end of ancient Israel to the other end of ancient Israel was about 180 miles. And when the Lord comes back and the armies gather against him and they're destroyed, the blood's going to flow. It's going to be like a wine press, and the blood's going to flow, and it's going to cover the earth, at least that 180 miles of land, which would be the land of Israel. So there's going to be a real time of judgment at this point. Death will cover the earth. So the bodies have to be cleaned up. And we assume that the body is being cleaned up, these extra days, the 75 days, the cleaning of the bodies, getting Israel or Jerusalem ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to sit on the throne. This is the period of, these account for the extra days that he mentions here in this verse, and then verse 11 and in verse 12. In verse 11, it was 1,290. In verse 12, it's 1,335. So there's an additional 75 days for the cleaning up of the mess that's left here. Verse 13. Any questions before we move on? I'm going pretty fast here. I'm going to be finished in just a minute. Any questions? All right, verse 13 then. Let's move on. Knowing that Daniel could not completely understand what has been revealed in this vision that God has given him, the angel speaks the final words to him. And the final words to Daniel are, "But go thou thy way till the end be." Daniel's to go. And the end here, of course, refers to what he has just told Daniel, the end of the tribulation. So you go your way to the end of the tribulation. What's going to happen at the end of the tribulation? What happens to Daniel at the end of the tribulation? He'll be raised up, won't he? He's going to go into the land. So Daniel's to go his way. And he says, for thou shall rest. For thou shall rest. The word rest in the Bible often refers to death. Daniel's going to die. You know, he's not a young chicken anymore. He's probably in his late 80s, early 90s. And to tell Daniel, go rest, Daniel, would be great comfort. I can imagine Daniel having these revelations given to him and the exhaustion that must be in his mind. I mean, just mentally exhausted from all this. He cannot understand all these things. And here's all Israel being under this Antichrist and Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist and the destruction that's going to come, the abomination of desolation, all the way through the book of Daniel and under the times of the Gentiles. And I mean, it just saturated his mind. I know this has taken place over a period of time, but it took its toll on Daniel. And Daniel's tired. He's been writing and he's written down all these things. The book is complete now. He said, shut the book up, seal it until the times of the end. They're the time of the end. And so Daniel is in this state of exhaustion. And so when he says, go rest, it's sort of a great comfort to Daniel. So he now knows he's going to sleep. He experienced the trials and tribulations of life. He knows what that's about. He was taken out of his homeland and taken up to Babylon. The trials that he went through there, the people that were against him, being thrown in the lion's den. But the other side, he had all the blessings that God had given him. And so he saw both sides of this, the blessings and the cursings that came upon him. And so he's tired at this point. Now he goes rest. And of course, that would speak volumes to Daniel. Now, when Daniel died, where'd he go? Abram's bosom, right. Abram's bosom. His body went into the ground. His soul and spirit went to Abram's bosom. Now, we know from Ephesians that when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he took captivity captive. So he took those who were held in Abram's bosom with him into heaven. So Abraham's soul and spirit, along with all the Old Testament saints, are now in heaven. And they're waiting. Now, when you and I die, the same thing happens to us. Except we don't go to Abraham's bosom to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. So we know that immediately when we die, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Our bodies go into the ground. And there's going to be a resurrection. Now, you see, the just, that is, those who are Old Testament saints, those who are tribulation saints, their bodies are in the ground, their soul and spirits are in heaven. You and I, when we die, our bodies are in the ground, our soul and spirits are in heaven. When Christ comes back for the church, he brings the souls and spirits of those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are in Christ, and the dead in Christ, that is the church, those who have died, if we die, we'll be raised and we'll meet our souls in the Spirit in the Lord. They'll be reunited and we'll return with the Lord in the air and into heaven to be with ever. Israel, those who are Old Testament saints, those who are tribulation saints, their bodies will still be in the ground. Well, not tribulation saints yet, but the Old Testament saints, their bodies will still be in the ground. Then we'll have 7 years of tribulation. Many saints will be killed and their bodies will go into the ground. Their soul and spirit are in heaven. When Christ comes back the second time, there's going to be another resurrection of the just. That's the second part of the resurrection of the just. Now, after that, there's 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, there's going to be another resurrection. And that resurrection is of all the unjust who ever lived, going all the way back into the very beginning of time and going to the end of the millennial kingdom. All those who died not knowing Jesus Christ will be raised. They're raised to go stand before the great white throne judgment. And when they stand before the great white throne judgment, there's no hope. This is not a second chance. This is not an opportunity to plead their case, and hopefully they'll get into heaven. There's no hope for them. The Lord will say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I've never known you." And they will be cast into the bottomless pit, into hell forever and ever. You and I will reign with Jesus Christ. Israel will reign in the millennial kingdom. That earthly kingdom will be dissolved into a heavenly kingdom, and we will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. Now, just a couple more remarks here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "Go thy way till the end be, and thou shalt rest, and stand in your lot." Now, you know what the casting of lots were. The casting of lots was the idea of selection. You're selected. When they divided the land, it was by the casting of lots. And when they we went into Acts chapter 2, and one was to take Judas's place, it was a casting of lots. Daniel will be his lot. And his lot refers to the fact of he belongs to a particular group of people, Old Testament saints. And that lot, when that lot is cast, they will be raised and go into the millennial kingdom. So that's what he's talking about here, the lot. The word stand is an interesting word, by the way. The word stand is much like the word we have in the New Testament, anastasis. Ana means again, and stand, and histemi means to stand. And so you have to stand again. And oftentimes that phrase, to stand again, depicted the resurrection. And that's the same meaning of this word here, to stand. It means to stand up, to stand again. And so when he talks about you stand in your lot, you will be resurrected in your lot. When your lot's cast for all those people who are Old Testament saints and those who are the tribulation saints, there will be a resurrection. And Daniel will be a part of that resurrection. Let's see, what else did I want to say? At the end of the days, if he mentions this at the end, of course, speaks of the days that Gabriel has been speaking about, the end of the tribulation and the judgments and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. There will come again. There's going to be a great hope. They will be delivered in verse 1 of this chapter, and there's going to be hope for them. Daniel will enjoy the blessings of the promised land, in the promised land, in the millennial kingdom. He will enjoy all the promises that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament. Daniel, I'm not sure, but Daniel ruled, I mean, he's ruled under two dynasties, under the Babylonian kingdom and under the Mede and Persian kingdom. I suspect that Daniel will have a special place in the millennial kingdom. I mean, he's had experience and executive experience, if you please, and Daniel just may have an important part in the millennial kingdom, not in the church, but in the nation, among the nation Israel. All right, let's see. Just one more thing, and we'll finish this up. As we look at all these prophecies that we've been dealing with, we can see the stage being set today. What's happening in the world right now, right at this very moment, is under God's direction to establish or to set the stage for the rapture to take place and for the tribulation to begin. It's not by accident. Our ambassador being murdered and the Marines being killed in this thing in Egypt and Syria and Libya, all these uprisings are not directed by men. They're directed by God. Satan is instigating it, but under God's leadership, to bring about all the events that need to take place for the church to be taken out and for the tribulation to begin. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I don't like to see it happen. I mean, envision. I don't think Daniel liked to see the things that were told him about the prophecies either. I don't like to see that happen, but it's going to happen. And we, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have one up on the world. They don't know what's happening. They have no idea the consequences of what's taking place right now. You and I can look in the scriptures and we know what's happening. We can see what's happening. We have one up on them. We don't have to go all over and try to make this thing make sense. So it's happening for a purpose, and we know that the rapture will happen soon. We know that's what's going to take place. I mean, it's closer today than when we first believed. And certainly the way things are going in the world, it appears to me and most Bible teachers that the rapture could happen at any moment. We know that it's imminent, but the world has never been set. The stage has never been set as it is today. I've given you the illustration that Pentecost gave. It's like going to a play, and the first act is done, and the curtains are closed, and the stage, you can, under the curtain, just the crack under the curtain between the floor of the stage and the curtain, there's a little gap, and you can see the stage being set, and you can see a sofa being set here, and you can see a chair here, and a table over here. You see the legs. That's about all you see, but you see that you can sort of surmise what's happening. And you and I, we're like that. We have the stage is being set. And you and I can look at those little things that are happening in the world. They seem big to us. They're little to God. But we can see the stage being set. And at any moment, the curtain is going to open, and we're going to see what really was behind that curtain. You and I will be caught up to be with the Lord, and this world will be left here. God's going to do some marvelous things for those whom he has chosen, for those who are not chosen, for those who are lost and don't want the truth. It's going to be a terrible time. So this is what's happening. The book of Daniel should build our confidence in spite of what's happening in the world, in spite of the church drifting away from the truth. And the church is drifting away from the truth. I don't have any doubt that we have a lot of people that are attending churches, but they're not being taught the truth. They would rather be entertained than be taught. And so there's a drifting away of the church. And even in spite of that, our confidence ought to be firmly grounded. There's a lot of indifference. There's apostasy in the world. The nations are moving towards centralization of the world under one leadership. It's looking at a monetary system of bringing it all under one power. And in spite of all of that, you and I have great hope. In Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to finish with this, Matthew chapter 5, let me read it to you. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle will in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What Daniel has said will be fulfilled. What Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what all the prophets said, what has been revealed in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. Not one jot or one tittle. You know, a jot is just a little dash. A tittle is just a dots are these little dots. If you have a Hebrew, I've shown you some of their little dots, and there's a tittle is a little marking up there that are really the vowel markings in the Hebrew language. Not one of them are going to be, they'll all be fulfilled. And not one of them will pass away. They'll all be fulfilled. So, any questions before we close? That'll finish our book of Daniel. Any questions? I hope you've seen the four power world kingdoms that will rule over Israel. Babylonian, the Assyrian, or the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. We saw the emphasis on the last world power, the toes of iron and clay, which is yet future. We saw that this stone that's cut out of the mountain will destroy the whole thing. That is Jesus Christ, cut out of the mountain without hands. This one that's being sent by the Ancient of Days will come here and will do his work and accomplish and establish his kingdom. Israel will be blessed. You and I will be out of here before that all begins to take place, the tribulation begins to take place, and we're in heaven, we're enjoying the benefits of being in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophecies that you've given to us. They're meant not to scare us, but to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us great comfort even in these times. So So, Father, we pray that the things that we've learned over these months that we've been studying the book of Daniel, that you might impress them upon our hearts, that we know what's coming, we know what this world is in for, and we know where we're going. And so we thank you for all this, and we thank you for all these things because Jesus Christ made it possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.